Oh, I am so excited to have my friend Kyle Reyes back on the show. Now, Kyle is the national spokesman for Law Enforcement Today, one of the largest law enforcement publications out there. He is also the CEO of the Silent Partner Marketing, a full-service marketing agency that gained national attention and fame a couple of years ago when Kyle talked about his now legendary Snowflake test. Now, this is a test that he administers to potential new hires to see if they're a good fit for his agency, and he's going to talk about it in the show. The one thing I really love about Kyle is he is one of the most fervent supporters of law enforcement and military that I've ever met. And his unapologetic support of our brave men and women in uniform have, you guessed it, drawn ire and frustration, even to the point where some social media sites are pulling him off their sites because, you know what, he's speaking the truth and he's backing the blue. Get ready for a very candid and no BS interview with the one and only Kyle Reyes, next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the CJ Evolution Podcast. That's Criminal Justice Evolution. Why? Because we're constantly evolving for the better to better serve you. So excited that we continue to grow. And again, that's because of you, the listener and supporter, sharing it with your family and friends. If you love the content, if you love what we're doing here, let us know that you love us by giving us that rating on iTunes. Very quick, you could do it in a couple minutes. And the link is on the cjevolution.com website. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, especially in these very, very difficult times. That's an understatement. Thank you for putting on the uniform, or maybe you are working in the criminal justice field, not wearing a uniform. Hey, whatever you're doing, thank you for doing it. A very difficult time, but we will get through this and we will be more resilient and stronger in the end. Hang tight. Remember, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Folks, if you love coffee, you know what I'm going to tell you next. You're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I am a huge fan of this company, and I love Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. Yes, I said mushrooms, not the funky mushrooms, the good mushrooms. It is so good for you. It gives me that extra zip and mental clarity I need to get me through the day. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see the link. Check out their products. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. And best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases at checkout using promo code CJEVO. Check them out. You will not be disappointed. Folks, for many years, I suffered from digestive issues. Millions of Americans suffer from gut problems. And I know it's not a popular topic to talk about, but if you are one of those people that are suffering from gut issues, I want to tell you about my good friends at Bioptimizers. Again, if you suffer from digestive issues like gas, bloating, cramping, even when you're eating healthy, nutritious foods, then you could probably benefit from a high-quality enzyme. Now, if you've never tried enzymes, or even if you've tried and they haven't worked, I want you to give this one a chance. As you know, again, I'm a big fan of the company Bioptimizers. They are one of the few supplement companies who have the best formulations and use the highest quality ingredients. You know what? Their products work. Now, I asked them if we could organize a great deal for all my listeners, and you know what? They over-delivered. Right now, you can get a bottle of Masszymes for free. All you need to do is pay a small shipping fee, and there's no catch. They're not going to try any tricks on you, no forced continuance, nothing to cancel. They are so confident in their products that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee, so I'm positive you'll be satisfied with the results. Masszymes is a 17-enzyme full-spectrum formula with 5 different kinds of protease. Plus, it contains all the key enzymes needed for optimal digestion. Masszymes ensures that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. So many individuals suffer from digestive issues because any protein your body doesn't break down creates digestive distress. This could mean gas, bloating, constipation. Masszymes ensures that all your protein you consume breaks down again into absorbable amino acids. So I strongly suggest you head over to their site to grab your bottle before they either run out or take down this offer. Go to www.masszymes.com/free. That's MASSYMES.com/FREE, all one word. You will automatically get access to your unique coupon code to claim your free bottle. Limit one per household, and offer is valid while supplies last. You are going to love their products. Go now to www.massimes.com/free. Get ready for the one and only Kyle Reyes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am so excited to have my friend Kyle Reyes on the show. He's been on a couple times before, but I thought it was apropos to bring him back on again, given the fact of all the crap that is going on in the world today. Kyle, how you doing, brother?
You got to make this a video thing so that they could really take in my good looks and charm and personality as well. What's going on, man? It's great to be back on the show.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for being here. You're doing so much for law enforcement. You're a national spokesman for Law Enforcement Today, which we'll get more into. You're doing so much beyond that. We'll talk about. But how did you get started on your path, brother?
Man, you know, it's probably a far too long of a story for the show, so I'll sum it up and tell you that I am not in law enforcement, never have been. Most of my friends and family are, and I realized very quickly that they were getting crapped on left and right. And I was sick and tired of seeing the disrespect. I worked in TV for about 10 years. I was a producer of news and special projects. We were taught how to make cops look bad. Let's call it what it is. And that obviously didn't fit my character, my DNA. And so I started a marketing agency in 2009. I spent the first couple of years screwing up. I finally started hiring people who are a lot smarter than me. The company blew up and God gave us an opportunity to reinvest our profits into telling the stories of emergency responders and veterans, to really tell the stories behind uniforms. Yeah. So that's what we did. We got out in front of it. We got attacked for doing so. And, you know, as you and I were talking about before the show, there's only so hard you can pander before you pander yourself out of business and realize that the only thing you did was sold your soul.
Yeah.
And so I had one of my appearances on Fox and Friends. I got off air, got a message on my public figure page from this guy named Robert, Captain Greenberg. He's in his 34th year in law enforcement. And he said, you know, I own this little company called Law Enforcement Today. I think I could help you out with that pro-law enforcement voice. If you ever need stats, data, information, hit me up. We took a look. So what's your reach like? So I don't know. Said, how do you not know? I thought, you run this. He goes, yeah, but man, I'm a cop. I said, can I take a look? This was about 3 years ago. He said, yeah, sure. So I took a look. I called him up. I said, brother, you've reached 25 million people a month. He goes, oh, do I? I said, yeah, you do.
Is that good?
Yeah, those were the next words out of his mouth. Is that good? I said, yeah, brother, that's really good. Oh, can we do something with that? So we could help a lot of people with that. Well, I'm excited to say that in the month of June, we reached over 100 million people now. Yeah. And so we've really blown it up. And like I said, man, we're just blessed with a voice at this point. And Robert still has his job in law enforcement. I still have my job running a marketing agency. So it's allowed Law Enforcement Today to grow authentically and without selling out.
Yeah. And the one thing, and we'll have everything linked up in the show notes for the listener, if you're not familiar with LET, Law Enforcement Today, I don't know what planet you're living on. But, you know, the one thing I love about you, brother, is, as well as the publication, is you tell the truth. You speak what's on your mind, and it might be fucking, you know, the snowflakes out there, and we'll get into that. The people who can't take it are offended, but that's the one thing I love about you. You just tell it like it is. Let's talk about, you just recently got booted off of LinkedIn.
For life.
For life.
Permanently.
Tell us the story behind that crap.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really convenient that it happens the same week that Tucker Carlson calls out the CEO of LinkedIn for being involved in the whole Epstein scandal, but that's a whole other story. So we've been fighting a battle now for a few months with LinkedIn, where they kept slapping me with restrictions. You know, it first started coming. The first big one that I got was because, now we produce a lot of content at Law Enforcement Today, right? We're putting out between 30 and 40 articles and videos and pieces of content a day. Like, that's a tremendous amount of stuff. And we have, well, I had, I should say, a large following on LinkedIn. So I'd be putting the stories out there because obviously a lot of my people are in the law enforcement space. So I put out an alert from NYPD about a legitimate death threat against cops, and it got no reach. It got completely, very clearly throttled. So then I put up a post saying, well, this is interesting that 30,000 followers on this page alone and not a single person has seen this. It appears that I'm getting throttled. And then that got absolutely no reach. So I emailed LinkedIn and they said, well, we determined that it wasn't relevant to our audience. Now, we can go down a whole other road about the legality of that and the Communications Decency Act of 1996 and Trump's executive order on this, but that's a whole other show. So suffice it to say that when they got called out on it, and I said, well, that's interesting because there are 850,000 cops in America, and not to mention their family and friends, and they all do that for a living. So I'd say that that's pretty relevant. So they reversed that. And then after that, they started smacking me with restrictions for absolutely no reason. They would say that articles that we had put out there were flagged as fake news. And I would say, well, that's interesting because the exact same story is widely reported on everything from CNN to Fox. Mm-hmm. So how did you determine that it's fake news? And then the restriction would be lifted and again and again. And it was only me. It was only as other people, thousands of other people would share the same articles, same content, but it was me. And so I got the permanent ban last week because I shared an article about a guy who tried to kill two cops. And I was told that I was intentionally trying to shock people with disruptive and inappropriate content and that I was no longer welcome on the platform.
Now, is there any kind of legal recourse that you can take, or do you care?
I should ask. Do you want the politically correct version, or do you?
I want you to speak what's on your mind, brother.
We're going to sue the shit out of them.
Good.
Because we have everything documented to the T, and this isn't about us, right? Mm. Like, okay, cool, yay, I'll get some media exposure.
It's about
for
the ripple effect
today.
Going forward.
I don't give a shit about us. I give a shit about the impact. Can I say shit on the show?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay.
Say shit all the time.
All right, good. I'm concerned about the impact that this has on the industry as a whole, on the law enforcement industry. We are in a point in society where social media giants are creating an existential threat to democracy.
Absolutely.
And like, brother, I need that to sit in for everybody here for a second, because we're not just talking about like, oh, hey, let me see what Cousin Joey is doing on Facebook. Like, you, because of Facebook, you actually hate Cousin Joey. So let's be clear about that. Now this is, how do we influence elections? The social media giants were embarrassed in 2016 because they lost the election, right? This wasn't about Hillary. This was about what they wanted. And they were embarrassed when Daddy T took the White House. And so now they want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And so this is why Trump just passed the executive order and signed the executive order about this Communications Decency Act. And what he's essentially done is he's just taken on the shield of the mothership. So now we're going to go take if this was the movie Independence Day that we were watching. You remember that movie?
Yeah. I remember taking down the shield with the virus.
Right. And then they shoved a tactical nuke up the mothership's ass and blew it to hell. That's exactly what we plan on doing on behalf of America to LinkedIn. So buckle up, baby.
Yeah. It's like you said, brother. I mean, it's like throwing a rock in a pond. There's such a ripple effect that reverberates through everything. And like you, I don't think a lot of people out there understand what is going on with big companies like that when they start censoring stuff. And who deems this appropriate or not appropriate?
Well, that's where it all comes back to that executive order. So essentially what this, the Communications Decency Act Section 230 said was that you're not a publisher if other people are just sharing content on there, right? And so if you're not a publisher, you're not liable for it. Well, the second that these guys started throttling your reach and determining what was okay and wasn't okay for the platform, well, now they became a publisher. Because now they took control over the distribution of the content. And so now they're opening themselves up to widespread lawsuits.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's crazy. We're just getting started, man. You have seen nothing yet. I mean, look at Facebook. All these big advertisers are pulling out, demanding that Facebook do more to censor content. Yeah. I mean, the irony of that is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you see all the stuff going on in the world with that, what we've been talking about. What we hit on police a little bit. A lot of police anti-sentiment out there, anti-police sentiment. I believe, Kyle, and I imagine you do, I think more people out there's so many more supporters out there for law enforcement. I wish they were more vocal. I say that all the time.
Yep.
Is there in your opinion, I mean, how did we get to this friggin' point in history? And in your opinion, is there a way out of this?
So what you see right now is the culmination of a generation of eighth place participation trophies, all of a sudden getting a loud microphone. That's what this is. This is kids who didn't get spanked growing up, who are now being enabled and encouraged by the media. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, brother. I agree 100,000% that the majority of Americans support law enforcement. I can't say proudly support law enforcement right now. And the reason that I can't say proudly is because they are afraid. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, man. I'm not knocking people who are afraid. Well, I got pulled over a couple of weeks ago and he goes, you know why I pulled you over? I said, no, it's like the first time in forever I haven't been speeding. So I actually have no idea. He goes, listen, man, I just want to encourage you to reconsider the thin blue line flag on your car. I said, you got to be shitting me right now. He goes, we've had a lot of reports in this neighborhood about cars being vandalized with the thin blue line flag on it. I said, cool, I'm putting a bigger one on. And he just sort of shook his head and said, I just wanted to give you a heads up, man, which I appreciated, but it was scary. We took the names of our authors off of lawenforcementtoday.com temporarily because we had them getting so many death threats. Mm-hmm. We had our managing editor, who she's a former cop. Her husband is an active law enforcement officer. She was out playing in the driveway with her kids who were riding their bikes, and someone rolled up and started screaming F the police and that they were going to kill cops. This is where we are in society. So I'm not, you know, it's tough, man. Yeah. I want to come out and say, wave that freaking thin blue line flag and scream it at the top of your lungs. But listen, I'm a dad, right? Like I've got three little girls. I'm vocal and in front of it. I was on Fox and Friends again yesterday, but I also respect that not everybody has the stomach for what's happening in this country right now. And that scares the shit out of me. Now, we are at a point in America where you are forced to be silent about your support for people who put their lives on the line to protect your family because you are concerned about being able to protect your family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I don't know, brother. I mean, I try to remain optimistic. I hope there's a way out of this. I think so much of it's political, like we were talking about, but what do you think? I mean, is there, what's the path forward? And I know that's probably a pretty broad question. I mean, there's probably many paths, but let me put it this way. Somebody asked me the other day, would you get into law enforcement right now? And I had to think for a minute, Kyle. Yep. I had to think. This is the first time I've ever really had to think about it. And I was like, I don't know, man. And that doesn't mean I don't support the brave men and women out there who put on the uniform, but it's so crazy out there.
It's terrifying. I mean, listen, if you're asking me, I'm going to answer this in two capacities. One, I'm going to answer it as the national spokesman for law enforcement today, which is going to be a somewhat modified version so that I make sure that we don't irritate anybody who might potentially give us gobs and gobs of money to support law enforcement down the road. But first, I'm going to answer it as a Christian and tell you, I think we got to get God back into America, man. I really think I think that COVID did a number on that. You know, across, and I'm not going to go off on a faith-based tirade forever, but humor me for a second. With COVID, we saw where it was now okay to go in and buy weed and alcohol in certain states, but you couldn't go to church. Not only could you not go to church, you were threatened with arrest or fines or death via COVID if you went to church. And so now people who maybe were young in their faith, people who were maybe convenient in their faith, right? Like they went to church every Sunday because it was just a thing that the neighborhood did, are now terrified of that. They're terrified of being vocal about their faith. Mm-hmm. And so we've done a miraculous job of taking God out of society yet again. And that scares me. And not for nothing, but a lot of churches too just said, oh, okay, well, we're done until this thing passes and we'll reopen. Yeah. Like what? We have this thing called the internet that, you know, the whole idea of faith is to be there for people, not just every day, but also in their darkest times.
Yeah.
So I think that we've got to bring God back into society. So that's me on a personal level. That's the Christian talking. From a law enforcement perspective, we need politicians to see that people stand behind law enforcement because cops can't do this alone, man. Cops do not have the First Amendment like everybody else does. And I'm not talking about from a scholarly, legal, constitutional perspective. Yeah, okay, everyone's got the First Amendment. They don't. They don't. They can't speak. They can't even post stuff on social media. They can't even post the thin blue line on social media without being told that they're a white supremacist.
Yeah.
So they don't have the First Amendment. And that's where guys like you and I have to step in and mm-hmm. step up and say, we stand behind them. And you know what? If you have a problem with that politician, we're going to vote your ass out of office.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you always get me fired up when I'm on your show.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's all relevant. I mean, it's what's going on in the world, brother. You know that. And it pisses me off that we see cops, and I know they're just following orders. They're retreating. You got these idiots in the street tearing down statues of abolitionists, Abraham Lincoln. I mean, they got a Frederick Douglass statue that was recently vandalized. Do these morons know who these icons in history were? I mean,
no.
Do they understand what?
No,
they,
of course they don't. Where,
I know.
Do you think
it's just
they learned
irritating.
That in their gender studies class? Come on,
it just irritates
they have no
the
idea.
Hell out of me.
It's. I mean, listen. I think you know. Knock on wood. So far, we've done a good job of raising our kids, right?
Yeah.
But our girls are 5, 3, and 1, and every once in a while, that toddler, one of them, doesn't matter, is going to throw a hissy fit and isn't going to listen to a word mom and dad says. Well, that's what's running the anarchy in the streets right now. Right? Like you could say that that statue that they just took down was a tribute to the Emancipation Proclamation, which we just saw the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't even spell emancipation.
Yeah.
Right? Like we think that they're going to understand.
People.
Right. And so, you know, it scares the hell out of me because at the same time, we are literally looking at the modern day book burning in America.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was talking about this the other day with a friend of mine. You know, that's what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. I think he started burning books, right?
Well, and the irony of this is that Trump is apparently the Hitler of today, and all deplorables are the Nazis.
Yeah.
When, I mean, that's sort of like the whole I'm rubber, you're glue. Anything that I say bounces off me and sticks to you thing when we were growing up. Yeah. Right? Like they don't have an actual argument. And so they will make the most ludicrous straw man comments that they can to try and turn the tables.
Yeah. Donald Trump can come up with a vaccine if there is one for COVID-19, and he would get criticized for doing so.
Of course.
This guy can't win.
Of course.
This guy can't win.
We are in a terrifying point in society.
Well, especially when you look at Biden and how he talks and how he speaks.
The best meme I saw going around was it was Biden, and it said, on this 4th of July, I'm here to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. It was spectacular. There was another one going around that said, you know what? This November, just decorate the nursing home like the Oval Office and tell Biden he won and he'll be thrilled. I mean, it's horrible. Right. We joke because I hate the guy, but Alzheimer's is a
no,
a
it's serious. It is serious. And
serious
I feel
thing.
Bad that they've thrown this guy up in front of everybody.
Bingo. I mean, it's wrong, man. You wouldn't do this to your grandmother or grandfather. You wouldn't bully them. You would get them help. And instead, we're forcing this guy to do something that he's clearly not capable of doing.
Well, I think COVID, he's the Trojan horse.
Of course. COVID is the best thing to happen to this political party because he doesn't have to be up there doing town halls and doing rallies and debating Trump. It's the greatest gift.
Let's talk about defunding the police. You know, I read an article, Sabrina Fulton, who is Trayvon Martin's mother. We all remember Trayvon Martin, who was shot and killed by George Zimmerman down in Florida, I think in 2007. Sabrina Fulton, she disagrees. And I love it when people come out and disagree and say, especially African-Americans, and say, we need more police.
I have yet to hear a valid, legitimate argument for how defunding the police makes a damn bit of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. You're going to scream on one hand about officer-involved shootings, which we could debate that all day long, which I'm more than happy to do, not with you, but you want to bring someone on the show, I will destroy their soul because I actually have data, not just feelings, right? But okay, so let's go down that road. Let's say we do have systematic racism in policing. Let's play their argument for a second. And let's say we have this massive number of officer-involved shootings of poor unarmed black men, which we don't have either of these. But let's humor them for a second. You're going to tell me that the solution is to defund them, put fewer officers on the street working longer shifts, worse hours, and have no training. Oh, that's a good idea. This comes back to the toddlers running the preschool right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. And in the minority communities, not just minority communities, but communities that need the police the most are going to suffer the most because they don't have the police.
You know, I got to go through some really cool training. You ever hear of a company called Virtra?
I think I have, yeah.
Super cool company. They do, to break it down simply, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with them. It's a 3D simulator training, right? Very real life scenarios where it's all controlled by somebody else. So depending on the situation, I might, you know, be out there on duty and respond to a call. I don't know if that young unarmed black man is reaching for his wallet in his back pocket or a gun, and they can control the scenario. Super, super cool stuff. Unbelievable training. They're doing all sorts of advanced de-escalation training, autism awareness training. Like, these are the things that departments need. Not for nothing, man, but most of my friends who are cops, I can outshoot them and I barely go to the range. It's because they don't get training. They don't get range time. They don't get quote unquote de-escalation training. And yet we're going to expect them to do more with less. No, we need to be investing in programs like Virtra and like Caliber Press and some of these hands-on courses. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, every single cop in America should be doing BJJ. Mm-hmm. They should be doing some kind of ground fighting training or Brazilian jiu-jitsu so that they can defend themselves. And we're going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, whenever, because I was at those levels and, you know, with budgets and stuff, and it's unfortunate, and it's the reality, and I'm not saying it's right, is when budget cuts happen, usually it's the training that gets cut. You know, it goes down to the bare minimum. Okay, you have to shoot and qualify four times a year, once a quarter, which is ridiculous. Now,
that's a lot. People, I don't think we have that out here.
Yeah, the SWAT teams, you know, they shoot more, but so here in Colorado, at least what I'm familiar with, we'd shoot once a quarter at minimum to qualify, but then we would mix in like tactical shooting during that quarter. So we would shoot a lot, but it's dependent on the agency and the state, frankly. So,
right. So the solution to make America safer is to take away police and make sure that they don't have any training. Like, that people are actually saying, like, do people ever stop and think, what words just came out of my mouth? Because I sound like a complete idiot right now. Like, politicians are going to get elected or reelected on campaigning to eliminate police and eliminate training because that's somehow going to make us safer.
I think it's going to, you know, and this is going to be another critical, in my opinion, whoever the hell I am, is this is going to be a ballot issue that people are going to be voting on this in November. Do they want less police? Right. Do they want more CHOP countries popping up?
Well, and can we talk for a hot second about the idea of de-escalation?
Yes, of course.
Because it's such a big buzzword right now. All the media, Joe Biden, idiot, comes out and says, you should shoot him in the leg instead. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Muzzle him for your party's sake. Actually, don't muzzle him. Take the muzzle off of him. Put him in the streets. Let him talk more.
Exactly.
So we talked about de-escalation, but let's have this conversation for a second. Now, coming from a non-law enforcement officer, I want to be clear with everybody about that. Here's how I look at it. People, officers, when they respond to a call, the only thing that they have is the visual that's in front of them, whatever information they got on the call, and their own life experiences. So let's take two different scenarios. One is a combat veteran that is involved in the domestic. Another, let's call it a young African-American man. So you go to that call. We don't know anything about, let's start with the combat veteran. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he's a young guy who's never seen combat, has, you know, just great training, is a good person, or if it's someone that lost three of his buddies in Iraq or Afghanistan that's been battling post-traumatic stress. We don't know. It could be either of those people. That young African-American could be a sports star, a scholar, you know, a rising star in the community, a young man of faith, or he could be somebody that he didn't have a father in the picture growing up. His life has been largely squandered to date because of drugs and sex and alcohol and violence. We don't know. All that we know is what's in front of us. Now, that officer has his own life experiences. So he has the info that came in on the call. He has the visual that's in front of him. And then for all we know, that officer could have been raised in a military family, or he could have had the shit kicked out of him by a bunch of dudes who went on to become grunts. He could have been raised in a very diverse neighborhood where he had lots of young black friends, or he could have been mugged when he was 20 years old by a group of young black guys. Mm-hmm. We don't know. And so all you have is what's in front of you. And now we're expecting them to make a decision on how they're going to react with having no information. People don't think about that. So what is de-escalation? Is it talking somebody? Like, there is no standard for what de-escalation is, because it's all dependent and variable based on that individual situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just like you said. I mean, there is, you know, it's important to learn de-escalation skills, but it's just a buzzword now, Kyle. You said it. Right. I mean, nobody's saying how you're going to de-escalate, because you can't, because each situation is different.
You cannot make a standard in society for something that cannot be quantified.
You mentioned shooting Biden and his, you know, genius approach of shooting somebody in the leg. And from a law enforcement perspective, how in the hell are you going to do that with somebody who's running at you, moving, dodging? I mean, it's ridiculous. I would challenge the best marksman. When your adrenaline's pumping, you're in a life and death, oh my God, is this guy going to stab me, shoot me, kill me, whatever, to hit a leg or an arm or shoot a fucking knife out of a hand. It doesn't work.
Well, and not only that, but now you have the other variables of what's behind that person.
Exactly. And that's the thing that these people do not understand. They do not understand. We are hamstringing law enforcement to a point where they're not going to do anything.
Yep. We there are a lot of people who are talking about how we're very quickly getting to that point in society where it's like the movie The Purge.
Yeah. I mean, you're in Minneapolis. Let's see how that plays out.
I mean, listen, I think the number that we reported on was 18 of the 20 largest, deadliest cities in America are all Democrat run.
Of course they are.
And of course, Trump said 20 out of 20. Never said all of them, sorry, and they were beating the hell out of them. Well, one was run by a Republican, another by an independent, 18 by Democrats.
Okay. Look at Chicago, brother. I don't have to tell you, look at Chicago.
Chicago land, man. I mean, that mayor spends more time going after cops than she does doing anything else. And as a result, in Democrat-run, gun-controlled Chicago, we have an exponentially growing number of deaths of kids.
Yeah.
Yes, Black Lives Matter, including those children that are lost to black violence.
Where are they?
It's terrible.
Let's shift it back to some good feely stuff. I love what you're doing with Silent Partner Marketing. Now, you mentioned that you're the CEO. What was the catalyst behind that?
I really liked marketing. I liked storytelling. And I got out of TV and thought to myself, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, I'm pretty good at storytelling. I can sell shit. And so, started it, man. And, we got obviously the international exposure that we did because of our hiring process, the snowflake test.
Oh, you got to talk about that, brother. Talk about it.
Well, I was just sick and tired of whining and entitled. Yeah, whining and entitled snowflakes were applying to work for the company because we had a 25-foot bar in the office and 8-foot beanbag chairs, and they didn't even know what we did for work. And so I needed a way of weeding them out. And so the snowflake test was born 30 questions, short answer, essay style, to make sure that they're not whining and entitled snowflakes. Questions like, how do you feel about the police? What does America mean to you? You see someone stomping on an American flag. What happens next? When was the last time you cried and why?
The Starbucks with two friends.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. So you're sitting in Starbucks having a coffee with friends. Someone runs in, hands you a gun, and says in 30 seconds, someone's going to come in and start shooting. What happens next? Well, that's a trick question because real Americans don't drink Starbucks. Weeded people out real quick with that one. it blew up. I mean, we did, I don't even know how many appearances on Fox and Friends and Risk and Reward and Varney and Company and Louder with Crowder and the Adam Carolla Show and the Kennedy Show, which was super cool because I was growing up in the 80s and 90s and I totally had the hots for Kennedy.
Oh, my God, MTV. Kennedy. Oh, my. She's still on it. I don't see her anymore.
Yeah, man. Well, I don't watch any TV anymore, so I don't even know, but probably. I mean, those glasses just did it for me.
Oh, geez. I remember her on MTV, brother. Remember that? That's how old I am.
Bingo. No, she's a doll. She was a lot of fun to have interview me. JB, who was the wrestler. I mean, just some really cool people that we got to meet through it. And, you know, it exploded. We got 40,000 emails in a week, 10,000 job applications, which was super cool. But it also sucked because we had two job openings and then we had to weed through 10,000 applications. So that just didn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, we blew up after that. We work with some of the most patriotic companies in America. We're very selective about the companies that we work with. And our big focus, honestly, has been really fueling a lot of the content for law enforcement today. We launched a platform called LET Unity. Mm-hmm. And LET Unity is where we take all of the proceeds and reinvest them back into the storytelling. So we hire active and retired officers, wounded officers, their families, and we travel the country and we tell some really, really cool stories through video. So we've been really focused on growing that platform because a lot of our content, a lot of the videos and stuff was being censored on social media, hence the whole LinkedIn debacle. Yeah. And so we just wanted to be able to control that and actually get these stories out there.
And talk about Whiskey Patriots for a minute.
So we actually ended up merging the Whiskey Patriots into Law Enforcement Today.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because we had so much good content and the word Patriot was getting us flagged on Facebook. They were
censored. Oh, geez, can't do that.
And so what, you know, the real takeaway for all of your listeners, we do the Whiskey Wall now. So we have active and retired emergency responders and vets. They come to the Whiskey Wall. They bring a bottle of whiskey. We sit, we share a cocktail on camera. They tell you a story about a good day on the job and a shitty day on the job. And then their name goes on the bottle. The bottle goes on that wall.
That is amazing. I got to make my way out there.
100%, man. And then we have, I was back on Fox and Friends yesterday talking about the Thin Blue Line. Awesome. Flag. So we had somebody was really, really triggered because they saw a Thin Blue Line flag and they said that they were going to kill us all and burn down our building unless we took it down. So I took it down so we could put up a much bigger one. I hit up Thin Blue Line USA. I was like, yo, send me the biggest freaking flag you guys have. So they sent out an 8-foot by 10-foot flag and we were like, all right, we're going to get this signed by police all across the country. So we put up a post on Instagram. We got like 150 departments. They were like, send it to us. We'll sign it and send it to the next department. So I was like, shit, it's a big flag, but it's not big enough to have 850,000 cops sign it. So they hit up Thin Blue Line USA and they're going to send us a dozen more flags and they're going to circulate the entire country. We're going to send one of the signed flags to Concerns of Police Survivors National Headquarters. We're going to send one of them to Daddy T over the White House. And then we're going to rotate the others through. So that's how we roll, man. You can't back down. It is not the time to back down. It is time to put our foot on the gas and to scream from the damn rooftops that it's okay to stand behind the men and women who serve and protect our communities and our country.
Yeah. Love what you're doing, brother. I mean, it's amazing. We're at a point now where a flag offends somebody. A flag sends people over the edge.
We are in a trigger culture of microaggressions and pandering. And we're not playing into that, man. Live PD gone, cops gone. They're freaking going after Paw Patrol for the love of God.
Yes.
I mean, get over yourselves, people.
I think it's going to change. At least I hope it does. And I know hope's not a strategy, but we'll see what happens in the next couple months, brother. I do think it's going to take a turn for the best.
Just pray, man. Everybody's got to pray and everyone's got to stand up and fight.
Kyle Reyes, if somebody wants to reach out to your brother, how can they find you and your amazing work?
So hit us up on Facebook, Law Enforcement Today. My public figure page on there is @KyleReyes, CEO. They can follow us on Instagram. You can't follow us on LinkedIn anymore. Sorry about that.
Well, good luck with that action.
Thanks, man. And lawenforcementtoday.com. Check in every day. We're putting out a ton of good content. Man, send us stories.
Yeah.
Like we are here to tell the stories of your listeners, period. We will cover their identity. We will protect them. You don't get to reach 100 million people a month by burning your sources. So send us your shit, people. Come on.
Exactly. Kyle Reyes, brother, much success to you. Wish you the best. As always, thank you for taking the time to come back on the show, brother.
Much love, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.